Where's Grange Farm?
Down the road a piece. There's a family there now.
Ask Dave Kemp,
the third farmer said. Reacher said, Who's Dave Kemp?
Dave Kemp in the shop,
the third farmer said impatiently, like Reacher was an idiot.
In Bishop's Pargeta. He'll know. Dave Kemp knows everything on account of the post office. Nosy bugger.
Is there a pub there? Why would someone from there drink here?
This is the only pub for miles, lad. Why else do you think it's so crowded?
Reacher didn't answer that.
They're off-comers at Grange Farm,
the first farmer said, finally completing his earlier thought.
That family, recent, from London, I reckon. Don't know them. Organic, they are. Don't hold with chemicals.
And that information seemed to conclude what the farmers felt they owed in exchange for a pint of beer, because they fell to talking among themselves about the advantages and disadvantages of organic farming. It felt like a well-worn argument. According to what Reacher overheard, there was absolutely nothing in its favor except for the inexplicable willingness of townsfolk to pay over the odds for the resulting produce.
You were right, Pauling said. Taylor's at the farm.
But will he stay there now?
I don't see why not. Your big, dumb, generous American act was pretty convincing. You weren't threatening. Maybe he thought we're just tourists looking at where our dads were based. They get them all the time here. That guy said so.
Reacher said nothing.
I parked right next to him, didn't I? That farmer said he was in a Land Rover, and there was only one Land Rover in the lot.
I wish he hadn't been in here.
This is probably one of the reasons he chose to come back. English beer.
You like it?
No, but I believe Englishmen do.
Their sandwiches were surprisingly good. Fresh, crusty, homemade bread, butter, rare roast beef, horseradish sauce, farmhouse cheese on the side with thin potato chips as a garnish. They ate them and finished their beers. Then they headed upstairs to their room. It was better than their suite in Bayswater. More spacious, partly due to the fact that the bed was a full, not a queen. 4'6", not 5 feet. Not really a hardship, Reacher thought. Not under the circumstances. He set the alarm in his head for 6 in the morning. First light. Taylor will stay or Taylor will run, and either way we'll watch him do it. Chapter 61. The view out the window at 6 the next morning was one of infinite, misty flatness. The land was level and gray-green all the way to the far horizon, interrupted only by straight ditches and occasional stands of trees. The trees had long, thin, supple trunks and round, compact crowns to withstand the winds. Reacher could see them bending and tossing in the distance. Outside, it was very cold, and their car was all misted over with dew. Reacher cleared the windows with the sleeve of his jacket. They climbed inside without saying much. Pauling backed out of the parking space and crunched into first gear and took off through the lot, braked briefly, and then joined the road due east toward the morning sky. 5 miles to Bishop's Pargeta. 5 miles to Grange Farm. They found the farm before they found the village. It filled the upper left-hand square of the quadrant formed by the crossroad. They saw it first from the southwest. It was bounded by ditches, not fences. They were dug straight and crisp and deep. Then came flat fields, neatly plowed, dusted pale green with late crops recently planted. Then closer to the center were small stands of trees, almost decorative, like they had been artfully planted for effect. Then a large gray stone house, larger than Reacher had imagined. Not a castle, not a stately home, but more impressive than a mere farmhouse had any right to be. Then in the distance to the north and east of the house were 5 outbuildings. Barns, long, low, and tidy. 3 of them made a 3-sided square around some kind of a yard. 2 stood alone. The road they were driving on was flanked by the ditch that formed the farm's southern boundary. With every yard they drove, their perspective rotated and changed, like the farm was an exhibit on a turntable, on display. It was a big, handsome establishment. The driveway crossed the boundary ditch on a small, flat bridge, and then ran north into the distance. Beaten earth, neatly cambered. The house itself was end on to the road, a half mile in. The front door faced west, and the back door faced east. The Land Rover was parked between the back of the house and one of the standalone barns, tiny in the distance, cold, inert, misted over.
"He's still there," Reacher said.
"Unless he has a car of his own.
If he had a car of his own, he would have used it last night."
Pauling slowed to a walk. There was no sign of activity around the house, none at all. There was thin smoke from a chimney, blown horizontal by the wind. A banked fire for a water heater, maybe. No lights in the windows. Pauling said,
"I thought farmers got up early."
"I guess livestock farmers do, to milk the cows or whatever. But this place is all crops. Between plowing and harvesting, I don't see what they have to do. I guess they just sit back and let the stuff grow."
"They need to spray it, don't they? They should be out on tractors."
"Not organic people. They don't hold with chemicals." "A little irrigation, maybe."
"This is England. It rains all the time."
"It hasn't rained since we got here."
18 hours. A new record. It rained all the time I was at Scotland Yard."
She coasted to a halt and put the stick in neutral and buzzed her window down. Reacher did the same thing, and cold, damp air blew through the car. Outside was all silence and stillness. Just the hiss of wind in distant trees, and the faint suggestion of morning shadows in the mist. Pauling said,
"I guess all the world looked like this once."
"These were the North folk. Norfolk and Suffolk. The North folk and the South folk. Two ancient Celtic kingdoms, I think."
Then the silence was shattered by a shotgun. A distant blast that rolled over the fields like an explosion. Enormously loud in the quiet. Reacher and Pauling both ducked instinctively. Then they scanned the horizon looking for smoke, looking for incoming fire. Pauling said,
"Taylor?"
Reacher said, "I don't see him."
"Who else would it be?"
"He was too far away to be effective."
"Hunters?"
"Turn the motor off," Reacher said. He listened hard, heard nothing more, no movement, no reload.
"I think it was a bird scarer. They just planted a winter crop. They don't want the crows to eat the seeds. I think they have machines that fire blanks all day at random."
"I hope that's all it was."
"We'll come back. Let's go find Dave Kemp in the shop."
Pauling fired the engine up and took off again, and Reacher twisted in his seat and watched the eastern half of the farm go by. It looked exactly the same as the western half, but in reverse. Trees near the house, then wide, flat fields, then a ditch on the boundary. Then came the northern leg of the Bishop's Pargeter crossroad. Then the hamlet itself, which was little more than an ancient stone church standing alone in the upper right-hand quadrant, and a 50-yard string of buildings along the shoulder of the road opposite. Most of the buildings seemed to be residential cottages, but one of them was a long, low, multi-purpose store. It was a newspaper shop and a grocery and a post office. Because it sold newspapers and breakfast requisites, it was already open.